The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. Quarter after seven, Mark Seligman, Josephine County. He's actually a Democratic candidate here for House District 3 State Representative. Mark, welcome to the show. How are you doing this morning, sir?
Good morning, Bill. Doing good.
All right. Now, I don't have a chance to talk to many Democrats who are running for office. But, you know, I'm always willing to talk to you, Mark. I really am.
Well, I appreciate that.
All right. And you were telling me that you are kind of a man without a party right now, which is an interesting place to be, especially when you're in a Democratic primary. And I know there's another fellow who's competing against you. He's reached out. Might talk to him for a few minutes, too. But anyway, give us the lay of the land. So you want to challenge, you want to be the Democrat that challenges Dwayne Junker this fall,
correct?
Right?
I'm appealing to Democrats, but I'm appealing even more so to moderate Republicans who don't like the far right, and I'm appealing to independents as well. You know, the reason I'm doing this is I live in one of the poorest counties in the state. I do landscaping. I have three guys who work on and off part-time. They're workers. They're not slackers. Mm-hmm. Every one of them either has their cell phone turned off or doesn't have gas money. And, I mean, they just work part-time. This is incredible, staggering poverty. Yet we have Democrats in my party who want the following, and this is where they won't endorse me. They want more taxes. They want more government bureaucracy. They want a county charter amendment passed. There's not one thing they want locally that's going to help the people who are getting their cell phones turned off and are getting, they just don't have enough money. Logging is gone. Cannabis is gone. The only thing we have here is seniors with some money, and they want to tax them. They want more law enforcement, taxing district, animal taxing district. Enough is enough, and we need help. Now, how are we going to get help? Well, my belief is the state should fund a lot of these programs, not through taxing districts. So then the devil's advocate in me says, well, then who's going to pay for it?
Right.
It'll go in income. You'll have increased income taxes.
Well, that would seem to be the obvious result if we're keeping things the way they are right now. So you're thinking then that a lot. I just want to make sure I understand here, Mark, that part of your platform here is that you see a need for the services. So you're not saying no to the services, but you're thinking that the idea that that poor counties or the various counties are that it's their duty to provide them. You're questioning that aspect of it. The
right.
County,
and you see,
the county or city having to do it. Okay.
In a sense, what I'm saying is, yeah, let this, if there's going to be strings attached, not necessarily, but if there is, who's going to pay for it? I'll tell you who's going to pay for it. The people with more money, not the people who are struggling and barely paying income tax. And that's where I'm looking at it. Basically, here's the Bernie Sanders in me. Mm-hmm. Tax the rich. Don't tax the poor. Help the poor. Help the poor get to a point where maybe they can be a little bit better off. Josephine County simply does not have the upward mobility it should have. People grow up here and they have to leave. That's a shame. And
why do you think that is? Now, why do you think that is there? I mean, this is nothing unusual with smaller, more rural areas. But what is it about that just denies them this upward mobility in some cases? What do you think?
Well,
what can be done about that?
They can make more money elsewhere, and it's true their expenses will be more. But at least they have a chance. They have a chance to. I mean, how many Dutch brother billionaires is Josephine County going to have? How many, not many, one. That's it. He's the exception. How many people are going to be like Pat Fahey, who's running for county commissioner, who was handed a garbage business and became a millionaire? You're not going to find many. But we must have these services. Unfortunately, my opponent, Junker, who was not even elected, he was appointed, He voted no on everything. He voted no for money for seniors, no for low income, no for housing, no for waterline extensions and grants passed. So guess what? These people are all going to suffer. You need a state representative who is going to get the money, not vote no on everything, so the money flows to a county that desperately needs it. And if anybody's going to have to pay, it'll be the people with more money, not the people who you're trying to help.
You know, Mark, I've actually been a fan of Younger voting no, because he's been voting no on bad legislation. I think that what's this is the flaw in your argument, or the potential flaw, okay? I mean, I'm letting you say your thing. Most of what comes out of Salem, every grant stream, piece of grant stream funding usually has a really big string that completely eviscerates any local control and being able to control our own lives here under the guise of funding something. So we dance to the tune and get a million or two for the water thing, but then we have to take strings on something else or some other really bad Democratic agenda. And even you yourself had noted that there are things that your party are going after that that you're not happy with. And so we get it all when you take the money, usually, and go for that. So
I'll tell you what's completely untenable.
Okay, what's that?
The situation the way it is now. You know, Younger is a city councilor, and he sat back, didn't do anything to solve the problem, except take it to the Supreme Court. I don't know exactly where that's at.
Wait, are you talking about the homelessness deal?
Right. You got the parks. You got people in the parks. People don't like that. Oh, that's fine. You have a right to want your parks back. On the other hand, you can't have it both ways. You need to build a shelter. You can't.
No, wait a minute. Does someone have the right to demand housing from other people?
Well, you do have the constitutional right to go to sleep in a public place if you have no other. But you just can't sit back and do. If you do nothing, nothing ever improves. If you take a chance on something, something might improve. That's my approach.
I get that. Mark, let me focus on that just a bit. Put some meat on the bone there. Gospel Rescue Mission is already there and has been happy to take in homeless, but there are some rules. You know, people have to follow a rule. Is it good policy to have the homeless community, let's say, more or less dictating terms of surrender to the cities and saying, hey, you either give me a place where I can drink and be a drug addict and with no strings attached, and or else we take over your park. Is that good policy?
No, I'm not for supporting drug addicts.
Yeah.
I firmly believe that the percentages of homeless people are skewed more the other way, that these are people that just couldn't make enough money to afford the housing, the housing that Younger voted no on, that kind of stuff.
Oh.
I don't think it's the other way, where the majority are drug addicts and, you know, abusers. I believe the single mother who is, you know, kicked out because she couldn't afford her rent. The rents are $1,600 for a three-bedroom house. Come on. You're not going to afford that with the way. So that's where you need the help. And if there are some strings attached, at least it gets people out of the parks. You know, you can't have it both ways. So when you go up to Salem, you know, you need a representative that is respected by their colleagues. I don't think Younger is going to be respected, and there's anything that he comes up with, they're just going to laugh at. And again, there are strings attached. I'm not going to deny that. But the present situation of staggering poverty, that has to end. It just can't go on. That's not right. People who are workers, like the guys that work for me once in a while, they don't have gas money.
Yeah.
Come on.
Okay. You criticize Younger because you say he's not respected by his party. Well, he's not respected
by
the people.
By his colleagues in Salem.
By his colleagues. Okay. You claim that. You make that claim. And that might be true in one respect, because he's not going along and getting along with the lobbies. You, on the other hand, are also not respected by your colleagues in your party. So how would you make a difference, though, given the fact that...
Well, again, I'm hoping that... I don't really want to criticize my party. You know, my party has not won a presidential election in Josephine County since 1944. I'm told the last time a Democrat held a statewide office, I have to check this out, is Deb Potts, 1948.
Yeah, socialist, right? A socialist, right?
Deb Potts, what I'm hearing from a friend of mine is Deb Potts was a socialist, and in the late 40s, early 50s, he says, well, I can join the Democrats now because they have the socialist mantra. So I don't know of any other Democrat that's... So basically what I'm saying is the hierarchy, again, stress, the hierarchy of the local Democratic Party is dysfunctional. Not rank-and-file Democrats, but the people that run the party. I called the statewide Democrats and told them that. They will not endorse me because of my views on local politics. They use that, and remember, from a Democrat point of view, they use that as an excuse over their dislike of Donald Trump and MAGA. To me, if you're a Democrat, that should be first and foremost your dislike of MAGA and Donald Trump, not how your candidate is on local politics. That's the dysfunction right there.
Yeah, Mark, you know, with that position in Josephine County, are you like the patron saint of lost causes? I mean, as far as a candidate, I'm sorry to, you know.
What's insanity? Doing the same thing over and over and over again and not having any result. Mm-hmm. That's Josephine County. So basically, you know, there are people in the local Republican Party that want nothing to do with it. It's too far right. There are people like Bill Hunker, who's running for county commissioner. He wants nothing to do with the party. There are other people who are running for office that feel the same way. On the other hand, we have the Democrats who, you know, and we have independents. So in a sense, I'm a balanced. I'm not a far left or far right either way. I'm taking a little bit of both. And, you know, am I going to win? The only way I'm ever going to win is if Republicans who are moderates and independents agree with this and Democrats realize, well, we may agree with him on national issues. We don't agree with him on local issues, but we'll let that go. So, yeah, I am a man without a party. But one thing, I'm not going to make deals with people to compromise my principles. Maybe that's why I've lost in the past. I'm an opinionated, principled individual who's not going to make deals. It's either going to fly or it's not going to fly. And I'm appealing to the soul of Josephine County to see to it that we improve and our kids don't leave and our seniors are respected and they're not overtaxed and overregulated, because this is not tenable what has been going on the last, 10, 15 years.
You're talking about the affordability of homes. It's a serious issue.
I'm talking about people's income.
No, well, and that's true, though, that's but still, you can't magically make people richer. I wish we could. I'd love to.
No, you can't. But government, one thing that this is, maybe this is a Republican mantra. What government should do is just stay out of the way and let, especially in a poor county, and don't put impediments upon businesses and homeowners.
Would you be willing to repeal Senate Bill 100 if there was a possibility of doing that? I know this is a sacred cow of the regulatory state. Senate Bill 100, which is state land use control?
Yeah, there you go. I mean,
would you repeal it if you had the opportunity? Just looking at, would you go to that extent?
I am for lessening land use regulation. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Hey, Mark, I appreciate you jumping on, being a good sport about it. And people can call you.
Tonight,
yeah,
May 1st, Abby's Pizza, meet and greet, Abby's Pizza on Williams Highway in Grants Pass. I welcome Democrats, Republicans, and Independents to show up. And May 7th, Cave Junction, Wild River Pub, same thing, 6 to 8.
Very good. Mark, I appreciate you calling. Mark Seligman is a Democrat candidate for House District 3. Yeah, from Josephine County, okay? And by the way, you can call him at 660-1505, right? So people can call you if they wanted ask you a question, and you're also available on Facebook. Take care, Mark. All right?
Thank you.
Bye-bye. You're welcome. 7:30, KMED, KCMD.
Looking for reliable roofing experts? Turn to the family-owned gem of our community, Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc., your go-to for metal roofing solutions, offering 25-year workmanship guarantee on all projects. New construction, re-roofing project, residential or commercial, they've got you covered. This experienced team ensures a stress-free experience from start to finish. Choose quality. Choose Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc. for your metal roofing needs. Call today. Get an estimate tomorrow, 541-941-3736.
Do you have an electrical checklist that needs to be completed? Call Completed Electric Plus. Need an exterior all-weather plug-in installed? Completed. A motion sensor light in your entry, pantry, or laundry room? Completed. Too many appliances tripping your breaker? Completed. RV outlet on the side of the house? Completed. Electrical jobs get completed quickly, expertly, and affordably with licensed techs from Completed Electric Plus, specializing in residential electrical jobs. Call Completed Electric Plus and check those jobs off your list. Visit CompletedElectricPlus.com.
Got a mess with the IRS or a tax date with the state? You may need representation. Visit FirstResponseIRS.com. First Response Resolution, your local tax resolution experts in Eagle Point, defending your rights as a taxpayer. Visit FirstResponseIRS.com.
I'm Johan Pietola. I'm an attorney with the Jackson County Counsel's Office and a former Jackson County prosecutor. And I'd love to continue serving this community as your next Jackson County Circuit Court judge. I pride myself in being approachable, reliable, and fair. I've been endorsed by Jackson County's leaders, including current and former law enforcement officers, who are familiar with my ability and dedication. As judge, I will respect the parties, the process, and the rule of law.
Johan Pietola, Jackson County Circuit Court Judge.
Welcome back to the Bill Meyer Show, 106.3 KMET, 99.3 KCMD.
We have Jeff with Selma, Jeff from Selma, rather, standing by. Smitty in Jacksonville here, too. And by the way, someone keeps trying to call and their caller ID is blocked. You will be blocked if you come in. You got to turn off your caller ID block, okay? Just let us know your number. Maybe not. Oh, I guess we lost Jeff. Okay, well, I'll go to Smitty first. Hey, Smitty, how you doing? What's up?
Well, I think the only way to explain these protests on campus is racism. And by that I mean, these kids honestly feel that the Palestinians are feeble, incapable, stupid, and they need these little white kids to stand up for them and accomplish something.
I hadn't really looked at it that way. I just thought that they were looking at this through as much of academia tends to look at it. Everything's through the lens of who's the oppressor, who's the oppressed. Doesn't matter what the oppressed did, they're always the one that we're supposed to be feel sympathy for and elevate.
For sure, we have been raised on victimhood.
Yes.
We look around for a victim wherever we can winkle them out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure. So that's my 2 cents. Hope you're doing well.
I hope you're doing well, too. Good. By the way, how are the dogs? Are the dogs still barking next door or not in Jayville?
Oh, no, they're long gone.
Oh, they're gone. They're gone.
First the marriage split up, and then the lady who owned the house finally peddled it, and she took her huskies, I think, to White City.
Oh, good for – well, unfortunate for White City, but thank you very much for the call.
Okay, bye-bye.
I used to live down the street from Smitty, and my next-door neighbor was the worst neighbor I ever had in my entire life. And I think that they would have been much happier, or at least we all would have been much happier, if they had taken their 15 to 20 huskies and lived out on about 500 acres in the middle of some wildlife area. Really needed to move to Alaska, I thought. All right, let's go to line two. Hi, who's this? Good morning. Welcome.
Bill, Jeff, and Selma.
Hi, Jeff. Got you back. What's up?
Yeah, well, tax the rich, Bill. Tax the rich.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, on a federal level, the Democrat Party of idea of tax the rich. Did you know that what your undeclared income used to be prior to Biden changing things?
No, I don't. Something tells me you're going to tell me.
$20,000.
So $20,000, you could make $20,000 before you had to start
income.
Before you had to start declaring it. Wow.
Right. So now that Biden took over, do you know what the level is?
No, I don't.
$600. Now, Bill, I ain't rich, Okay. Uh-huh. And not having to declare $20,000 if I sold a car, you know, or something along that order, that would help me out a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I just got a notice from eBay that they're requiring a tax identification number from me because my undeclared income level is at $600, and I've made $350 worth of sales on eBay, just selling off stuff, you know, getting rid of things, garage selling kind of things.
Yeah.
Which, if you're garage selling things, that's just a liquidation of assets.
You know, I was going to ask you about that. You know, how is it that the Fed or the state or anybody could look at us when we're selling stuff out of our garage on eBay, whatever it is? I already paid income taxes on the money that I used to buy those things, right?
Well, even some of the things I'm selling at a loss. I mean, I had a seat cover for a 57 Chevy truck. It cost mm-hmm. me $280, and I sold it with free shipping, and I lost $140 on it.
And so apparently with this kind of stuff now, it's just that, okay, you sold something, give us our cut, right?
Right. So, you know, I mean, when you listen to the other talk programs, they talk about tax the rich. Every time they say tax the rich, it always comes down to tax the middle and lower class,
because the rich end up finding ways to avoid it. They're smart. They hire big lawyers, and they start foundations, and then they hire their family as employees of the foundation.
Then they say the Republicans are the ones working to keep the rich richer.
Yeah, got it. All right, let me grab line three. Thanks, Jeff. I like the call. Hi, who's this? Go ahead. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Me?
Yes.
Hey, I didn't hear the sound.
That's okay. You're on. Go. Hi, Holly.
Holly Martin from Josephine County. First of all, I want to thank you very much for kicking off the Patriots Conference. You're always amazing, and we appreciated that very much.
Oh, it's very kind.
The second thing I wanted to talk about is people getting in the game. You know, the one thing I've noticed is people say, you know, I don't like the Democrat, I don't like the Republican Party. Well, get in the game. Most of the people that I know who say they're upset with the Republican Party for some reason, we never see them. They don't come to the office. They don't talk about anything. They don't call in. They don't have any ideas. They have nothing.
They just want to sit around and bitch, in other words.
They want to sit around and say that they know what's going on within the party when they have no earthly idea what's going on in the party because they're not involved in any way. So there are many avenues. I mean, we have open doors right now from Monday through Saturday for people to come in when they need help, citizens to come in when they need help and advice. We're there and available for them. If they have suggestions, come in. I sit down with people all the time and listen to their ideas and suggestions, and we pick the best of. That's how things work in the political arena.
All right.
Right now, I will say people's ballots are coming in the mail. This is your opportunity to weigh in. Even if you don't want to leave your armchair at home, you can weigh in. That's your opportunity. Read your voter's pamphlet. So you know what the issues are, call our office, which is 541-295-8100. Call our office, ask questions if you have any, stop by, get yourself well-informed, and vote. That's what this is all about.
And turnout is going to be key, especially with these attacks by the Democratic Party on the county with these charter change measures. Okay, just
right.
Bottom line.
There's a lot going on. I would make one quick comment about Dwayne Junker, because he's been criticized. Dwayne Junker is trying to bring a new culture into Salem. And that culture is don't just agree to bills that are laced with a lot of things that are terrible. The problem with bills, you don't just get one subject. You get maybe 5 or 10 different subjects. They add all these amendments. And so they sneak these things in under a bill title that looks kind of good, mm-hmm. but it isn't good. He's paying very close attention. His assistant's paying close attention. He's trying to change that culture and get people to look at the bills very carefully and say no when they don't make sense.
Yep, and that's the way I kind of looked at that too, Holly. Hey, appreciate the call. Thanks for making it, all right? And let's see, State Senator Linthicum should be joining me here in a couple of minutes, and we'll get him on. He's running for Secretary of State. I'm sure he'll have an interesting comment on a latest Secretary of State agenda. Hi, who's this? Good morning. Welcome.
Good morning, Bill. Michael Shaw.
Hi, Michael.
I have to comment about Mark the candidate. He gave me hope when he first started speaking that he really presented himself as a conservative with his positions.
Right.
He then showed us that he really is not a conservative, because it's all about take the money from the state, strings attached. It is not the, you know, I'm going to back up a little bit.
See, and the challenge, though, is that it's not just a Democratic thing. We have a lot of Republican reps and senators that are in the same thing. It's like, we're poor, and let's grab the money from Master State. You know, and it's nothing unusual, I guess, really. Yeah.
Right, and he's absolutely wrong when he's talking about the homeless problem not being drug-related. We didn't have this homeless problem before they said, oh, it's great. We're not going to charge you for your drug possession or your drug usage. We're not going to charge you or take you to court for your minor theft issues. It's all drug-related, and he's saying, oh, it's the homeless single mothers. Well, why do we have homeless single mothers? Because we have drug-addicted dads that left them and walked out of the relationships. So he started out sounding like a conservative. He proved to us that he was really left-wing, and then he ended up showing us he truly is a progressive by just screaming tax the rich. He has either no clue about reality, or he's just lying to everybody.
All right. Appreciate the call, and thank you for the opinion as always, Michael.
Yep.
742. State Senator Linthigam, I don't know if the Skype's going to work. If we can't make the Skype work, we'll get him on cell phone old school way, so to speak. Next.
The People's Committee.
Body shop manager at Lithia Body and Paint, and I'm on 106.7 KMED.
State Senator Dennis Linthigam running for Secretary of State. We always like to check in weekly. We've been doing this for quite some time. Matters of liberty and such. Hey, Dennis, welcome back. Good to hear from you.
You bet. Thank you, Bill.
Hey.
It's always great to be on in the morning. You have such interesting topics that bounce around. Eric is fabulous, of course.
Well, we try to. Well, we have a little ADD sometimes. A little bit of ADD is sometimes the way that works. Not totally, though, but we actually can get in-depth in certain topics from time to time. Hey, I wanted to get your take. Is it just me, or does the current regime controlling the Secretary of State's office, all right, is she all about infantilizing and treating Oregon voters as as children? And
it's almost like I don't know anything about the current Secretary of State, so I have no knowledge. But even the individual who was belly aching about Rep. Yonker a minute ago, these people have no idea what ethical leadership looks like. The Secretary of State has never ever made any hard choices. Which is actually the underpinning of success. It's a successful career in the private sector. It would be successful in the public sector. And you actually earn respect by making those tough choices and standing firm on principle. But these people exist through some level of status that's entirely unearned and created out of thin air by the socialist media, the education brigade, and the various NGOs that are busy trafficking this language. And they're just pulling for their own political bosses, hoping that that will drag them up the chain.
Well, the reason I'm asking about the infantilizing aspect of it is that the Secretary of State, the current office, now she's not running for election, thank goodness, but she's had this this get out the vote thing. Like, voting in Oregon feels good. It's like it's all about the feels, and then there's this character, this animated character like Blobby or something like that. Have you seen that by chance? Like Blobby the vote?
I have.
Okay, and I'm thinking about Blobby the vote. Blobby is where all of your ballots end up going as they're mailed up to Portland to be screwed with by operatives at some point, maybe, because we don't really know or have.
I would undo that in a minute. When in that office, I will not stoop to such low and petty levels.
Okay, so you then, if you're Secretary of State, you make it then, you will then take your boot and stomp it on that insipid, friendly, Blobby the vote face, and then just squish him out. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, well, actually, so I don't know that that would be a good PR piece, but some creative cat out there could figure out how to, you know, we need to ridicule these people.
Well, that's just it. Exactly. How about this then? If you don't want to grind Blobby under your heel, could you just beat Blobby like a baby seal? How about that? Would that be okay?
Oh, no, that's too gross.
Okay, all right, we're not going to do that to it. And I will once again say I actually like baby seals, but, you know, it's quite the image.
Well, I've never cuddled with one, but, you know, I see what you're talking about.
Yeah, but it just seems like that seems to be our entire culture right now, in which it's about the feels. There's absolutely no substance to anything. It's just about, how does this make me feel? Voting feels good. I would like just for voting to be accurate and fair and counted well. And
right. Know. Well, and people ask me. One of my colleague opponents, or actually, he's a colleague on the Republican side of the ticket. Therefore, he's an opponent. But he talks about the importance of being nonpartisan. And you know, I'm not sure, and he is a Republican, and he says it's important to be nonpartisan. I'm not sure I agree with that, because the partisanship within the Democrat majority is what has ruined most of the legislative action that we see coming down the pike. And what we need is Republicans who will stand for honest and fair elections. We got 6 ballots here. Here comes another one that makes 7 ballots. And it's just it's simple addition. It doesn't matter where the ballot came from. With social justice or ESG, you know, justice of some variety, or Black Lives Matter variety, here comes a ballot. It looks like it came from this zip code, count it twice. And we go from having 6 to having 8 to having 12 to having 48. And all of a sudden we're engineering, we've got an algorithm for how the correct answer is supposed to be arrived at because of the disenfranchised, the impoverished, or the white supremacists out in the middle of nowhere that don't actually exist on planet Earth. And what we need is we just need meritocracy. Can you add? Can you subtract? We don't need anybody subtracting. Thank you. Anyway, you're dismissed. Can you add? Yes. Bingo. You're in. And it seems like it ought to be, you know, think of it like this. Global warming won't impact how we count. So the political shibboleth of global warming doesn't fit in here.
And yet someone who is in the Secretary of State's office will probably mouth pieties to such things. Secretary of State Dennis Linthicum, I'm saying he is working to become Secretary of State. Secretary of State candidate Dennis Linthicum, though, he's state senator right now, Klamath Falls. Let me just. I've always wanted to ask someone running for Secretary of State this question, and maybe you could enlighten me your opinion on this, Dennis. Why is it that when it comes to voting, which is an additive process, it's a pretty simple process. You know, something comes in, we take what's in the columns, and we just add them together. That's all it is. That's all vote counting is. Adding into the correct into the correct columns and coming up with who wins. Okay, that's it. That's all the process is. Why have we had to hire companies with proprietary software that we're not allowed to look at, using proprietary machines that you really can't dig into? And this is not just Oregon. This is everywhere. How do we get to that point? And why did we? I mean, do we need to have proprietary software that nobody can look at and audit and examine in order to just add dots and add circles that are actually put on ballots?
Yeah, you're asking a rhetorical question, but it's worth everybody considering. Why do we do this? Why do we have machines with algorithms? Why are we doing the? A 5-year-old could do this. One, you've counted with your 8-year-old or 7-year-old granddaughter, something I certainly have. Two, 3, 4, and if you're watching and they get all of a sudden to 5, you go, perfect, perfect, and you keep going as far as you can, you know, and that's actually how easy it is. There's no division. There's no subtraction. Remember, we dismissed him a second ago.
Yeah, well, then let's go to the core of the question here, and I know that you and State Senator Kim Thatcher have filed election integrity lawsuits, and we, you know, had those conversations in the past. What is the point of private sector, secret algorithm, proprietary software voting machines? Why?
There is no point to it. This has been a long-running scam from those who want to control the elections and control the power. They were having trouble doing it at the local precinct with an ID. So in Oregon, to solve that problem, they said, well, you don't need an ID. How about just 4 digits of a Social Security number?
Which, of course, can match a lot of different Social Security numbers, right?
Well, and to make it sound legal and appropriate and well thought through, because these guys are all geniuses, it's 4 digits of a valid Social Security. Now, ask me if it's my Social Security number. And the answer is, well, no, it doesn't have to be. It just has to be a valid Social. So I could use Obama's.
You could technically use the last 4 digits of Obama's Social Security number, and that would ring true through the Oregon system right now. So what I'm saying is that there is the potential for hinky at just about every level, from proprietary, non-examinable software.
Well, except for when it used to be at the precinct level, and you would show up. When I was younger, we would walk with our children down to the precinct. It was in a garage. There were flags.
Yeah, I get that. I don't want to go too much into memory lane, though. We know how that worked here. I guess the thing is, though.
Well, that's my point, though, is there was a registry. You signed in, they looked at your ID, they handed you a ballot, you went over and you voted and you gave them back your ballot. There was no, quote, hinky going on. It was as straightforward and honest as you could get. That precinct could count those. The ladies or gentlemen within that precinct could count them in what? 30 minutes or a full hour?
They would do it, and you would have your election results pretty much the same night because the precincts would just call in. Here's the results. They add them up on a calculator, and you can double-check your work or whatever. You know, it's like we have snowed ourselves in under this guise that, gosh, there has to be an algorithm. There has to be some artificial intelligence involved in here. It's like, wait a minute. This is just an additive process. There's no opinion, you know, going on with any of this.
Your descriptive vocabulary was spot on. We've been snowed. We have been snowed, and it's time we walk this stink bug back to the hole and stuffed him in it. We need to get back to having accurate daily counts at the precinct level without waiting an extra 8 days to count the ballots, without pretending that we need some kind of machine to count the ballots at the county offices. Why do we take these, you know, we have 30 precincts. I actually don't, I can't recall the number of precincts. We have a couple hundred precincts. They all have, you know, a couple hundred ballots or whatever. Maybe a giant a precinct would have more than that in downtown somewhere. But even that's only a couple of thousand at best, and then the others are all much smaller. And we put them all into a mail bag and run them off to the county offices, and chain of custody at that point is a goner. You have no idea other than, wait, there's a security.
What kind of chain of custody do we have to drop our votes into a mail bag and have it sent to Portland and then sent back to us? What's the chain of custody? Right?
Yeah, there is none. There's none whatsoever.
And this is an example of what I'm saying. You know, the way people have been snowed, and as Secretary of State, you're Secretary of State, what can you do to influence and change this snowed-in attitude that, all right, democracy, I put my vote into an envelope and hope it gets to the county someday? You know?
Yeah. So the first thing you do is you take Blobby out to the back and you put him in the bin, and then you start telling the truth.
I prefer beating it like a baby harp seal. No, but anyway,
I'm not going there. But then you start telling the truth. You start informing the public. You start describing these things. You start enlightening them and have the scales fall off of their eyes. And once the scales fall off of their eyes, they'll go, "Holy cow!" Personally, at the Secretary of State level, I can't do anything because it's all legislative action, the Democrat majority. So your public ought to know today, don't vote for a Democrat, vote Republican all the way. Even the Republican who's the weak link in the chain is better than the strongest looking Democrat, because they're keen on keeping this system alive and I'm keen on putting this system down. So we need to talk frankly about these issues. And that's why we're campaigning hard for Diane Linthicum and Noah Robinson over in Josephine County, along with myself. We're trying to get these conservative members into office so that they can make a difference and we can affect legislation. Right now, the Democrat majority won't allow us to affect legislation. And the way I see it, we're in a war. You know, I had a newsletter yesterday, and some people wrote back and said, "Oh, this is too much World War stuff. What kind of historic nut are you?" and whatever. And I wasn't talking about physical war. I never mentioned panzers or tanks or divisions or brigades or, you know, Messerschmitts. I never mentioned any of that stuff. I was trying to describe, through these quotes from William Shire's book, the ability to recognize subversion, the ability to see fact versus fiction, to know a story versus a myth.
And by the way, to recognize ideological demoralizing activity, you know.
That's right.
Which is what's been going on here. In which a lot of the people in Oregon essentially are victims of battered wife syndrome by the current regime, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah. And not even thinking for themselves.
Right. And okay? So we've got to muster the strength to stand up. This battle in front of us during this election is going to hinge on our own naked will and courage. This is where we face with the difficult facts in front of us, and we present the arguments and we move forward to make a difference in the state of Oregon. If we go along to get along and we're just happy, we might as well elect Blobby our mascot.
Yeah, if we're just going to be okay with, I'll be able to brag about the Grant Stream funding I got back. I got a water line, or I got a sewer line. I got a $500,000 to the Oregon Caves or whatever the case might be.
Should we be proud that we got a water line when the money for it came from some a community like Shreveport, Louisiana? Why are we taking their economic dollars and shoveling them off to Oregon?
Well, I can tell you why they do it, because it's all about I honestly think that the system right now has been so corrupt to the extent that it's just a matter of grab every check you can right now even though the checks are hot, while they're still being cashed. And I honestly think there's a little bit of that going on right now. And Senator Dennis Linthicum, electdennis.com, he's running for Secretary of State. And I wish you the absolute best on this, and because we need that kind of thinking in the Secretary of State's office to make a change and to pull the wool from the voters' eyes of Oregon, okay?
Dennis? Yeah. Actually, this time of year, snow ought to melt pretty easy. We've been snowed in. We can't see the road in front of us. Well, it's going to melt here in a couple of minutes, and in 3 weeks, you're going to be able to vote and make a difference.